Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Your job as a high-ticket dropshipper is to work out what is the offer I need to put forward in my niche, my market, that is going to make me either look better or different in the marketplace. Because that's what's going to get people's attention. Because like I said, as a high-ticket dropshipper, you're not in the product business. Your products are not going to be a differentiating factor because other people sell those products.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And maybe you've listened for a while and you've heard John say, you're not making sales just because you don't have a good enough offer. Well, enough people have reached out, including myself, of like, what does a good offer look like? I've wanted John to rant on this for a really, really long time. And I bet whether you're running a business or whether you haven't started yet and you're like, well, how am I going to be different? I'm going to sell the same products everyone else is selling. How do you be different? So I'm happy to pass the baton to John. I will sit here and smile like the big dope I am and just let John tell you how to make a good offer when you're dropshipping. How do you do that, John? When you're selling the same products as everyone else, how do you make a good offer?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is a topic that I don't think anybody else in high-ticket dropshipping space really talks about, like outside of us, right? Really, in a thoughtful way. Now, why is this important? It's important because, like as Ben said, when you're a high-ticket dropshipper, you're a reseller, and most of, if not all of your suppliers are going to have other resellers. So people who are selling the same product as you, often at a very similar price or the same price, particularly if you're in the US and you've got MAP pricing, the prices are going to be the same. So that's not necessarily a differentiating factor for you. And so yet to get ahead, you have to bring something more to the table often than your competitors. Now, yes, you could do better marketing than your competitors, which will absolutely give you an edge. But once again, let's say you're going to start running Google Shopping ads. Let's be real. Almost any idiot can run Google Shopping ads. This is not a challenge, and this is not like some people do it better than others. Yes, and we do it the best, I'd say. But you know, I mean, it's not a super high bar to get your products into ads, which means your customer's going to find you. They're going to find your competitors. Google Shopping is a comparison shopping engine. That's what the purpose of the platform is. It's to allow customers to compare products from different sellers, right? And so when your customers are on somewhere like Google Shopping or Bing, Microsoft ads, Microsoft Shopping ads, or whatever it might be, they're going to have your website open and they're going to have somebody else's website open right next to it in the tab next to it. They're going to be flicking between the two. And what's going on in the customer's mind is, you know, we focus a lot on selling products to customers, and it's easy to come into the thinking that the customer is thinking, what's the right product for me to buy? And that's all they're thinking about. Well, that's a very basic thinking, and it's not actually all they're thinking, particularly in the case of high ticket drop shipping websites or on resellers' websites, if they're thinking of buying a product that is sold by multiple businesses, they are absolutely in the first instance focused on what is the right product for me to buy, you know. But once they've made that decision, there's still another decision they make, and that is, who should I buy this product from in a market where multiple people sell the same products? And so that's actually the last question that somebody answers. They don't answer that question before they know what product they want to buy usually. That happens after they know what they want to buy, right? And so this is the last barrier to a conversion happening on your website. So part of what you have to be able to do as part of your marketing as a high ticket dropshipper or a reseller of any nature is persuade customers that they should buy from you, irregardless of the product that they want to buy. So you have to be able to make a case on your website, this is why you should buy from our business. Now, if you can't do that in high ticket dropshipping, you're unlikely to sell a lot of products. So that is where the offer comes in. So A lot of people, when they hear me say the word offer, they think, oh, like a special offer, like a discount. And that's not what I'm talking about. A discount could be part of your offer, but that's not an offer. Offer, the word offer in this sense is, this is marketing talk. This is kind of marketing lingo. So your offer is the totality of what you are offering the customer as part of the purchase with you, right? So it's the product. It's how much you're selling the product for. It's how your shipping works. It's your returns policy or risk reversal, which is another marketing speak thing, and I might come back to that in a bit. It's your customer service. It's the content on your website that might provide additional value. It's any other value you put into the sale. Like maybe we talked on a recent podcast episode about ways that you can increase your profitability or get more customers. We talked about like putting digital products in with a sale, for example. Giving away things for gifts with a purchase of a high ticket product. That's part of your offer. If you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. Your job as a high ticket dropshipper is to work out, well, what is the offer I need to put forward in my niche, my market, that is going to make me either look better or different in the marketplace? Because that's what's going to get people's attention. Because like I said, you're as a high ticket dropshipper, you're not in the product business. So your products are not going to be a differentiating factor because other people sell those products. Now, if you were a D2C company, like a direct-to-consumer customer, which is a company, which is another type of e-commerce business, your product can be part of your offer because your product might be unique and you might be the only one who sells it, right? Which is often the case for a D2C company. So they can rely very heavily on, well, we've got this product and you can't get it anywhere else, so buy from us if you like the features of the product or the outcomes or whatever. Now, as a high-ticket dropshipper, you can rarely do that because you usually don't have an exclusive relationship with suppliers. It happens occasionally, but not normally. So you can't say, well, buy from us because we've got this product. You have the right product. The next thing would be price, but usually you're not competing on that either, right? And you don't really want to compete on price either because that normally means you've also got the lowest margin if you have the lowest price. So your price isn't one of the differentiating factors. So our task when we build our offer is to work out like what does our offer need to be across all of the range of things that I mentioned. So to do that, you have to go and look at what already exists in your market. This is like the first step. We teach this in Dropship Breakthrough, in our conversion rate optimization module. We take people through an exercise on how to work out what everybody else's offer is in your market, right? And you map it out. You have like a spreadsheet. You write down, okay, this website here, when I look at their product page or their homepage, this is what I see. I see this is their shipping policy. This is their returns policy. This is the additional value they add into the sale in other ways. Like, and you define those things, right? And you do that for all of your main competitors. And then you've got it all in a spreadsheet. And you can look at that spreadsheet and say, okay, so where is everybody at on shipping? Like, is it all free shipping? Are people charging for shipping? Does one person have a faster shipping time frame than others? You can see it all. What's everybody's return policy? You know, what's everybody do in the customer service space? What does everybody do additional value in the sale? I get people to sign up to everybody's email list. So if you haven't done this in your niche, here's a little gold nugget for you. Create a Gmail that's not your main email because you don't want to get bombarded in your main email. Create a new Gmail and go and sign up for every single one of your competitors' email lists. Every single one of them. Go to every single one of your competitors' websites, add a product to cart, go to checkout and abandon that checkout with your email in the email box. So you get added to all of their abandoned checkout flows. Because I would be willing to bet if you're in a map industry, you have at least one competitor who is offering discounts that you're not offering through email, for example. Or they may be offering things via email that are not visible on their website. And you want to be able to see those things as well, because some of your customers are going to be, potential customers are going to be seeing those things, and they might be offering something on the back end of their marketing that you don't see on the front end of their marketing, right? So you want to be able to pick that up. So go and sign up for those. And if you're picking anything up in those emails, you put that into the spreadsheet as well, into your mapping. I've done this actually and seen that almost none of my competitors are sending emails. And so the thought that that sparks for me is, holy shit, if I start sending a lot of emails to people, you know, I'm going to probably pick up some customers because nobody else is doing that. So it can be an eye-opening exercise for you as well. You'll also see what products do your competitors push harder than others in their emails. That can give you some good insight into what products are selling well for them as well. And so you can learn a lot from that exercise by itself, regardless of what we're talking about with offers. So you do that, and then you look at where does everybody sit, and then you've got to think about what am I doing? Like, where am I on each of these points? And do I see opportunities within these points for me to either do more, do better, or do something different, right? That might be similar, but it just looks different. And so this is where I get into, and I saw in the podcast notes, you had the perception as a note in there, Ben, for me to talk about. So this is something I learned a long time ago. It's a very commonly held thing in marketing. I'm going to get a little bit deep here and a little bit sort of dark lord, marketing lord. So just if you haven't read this book, The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing, we gave this away at our live event. I've got it up on the screen if you're watching the video. Go buy it and read it. It's very thin, right? It's a small book. You can read it in like a day if you really want to. It's very easy to read. The fourth law in there is the law of perception, right? That's probably covers about four pages in the book. If you don't read anything else in the book, read the law of perception, right? So perception is reality. So what customers perceive to be the case is the case, even if it's not true. All right, so let that sink in a little bit. So, and I'm going to give an example of this. So back on my first business, we've talked about returns before, and I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again here because this kind of plays in. Back in my first business, I caught on that a lot of customers were having trouble with so I was selling lights, like hanging lights, chandeliers, decorative lights for homes and things like that, right? They come in all different shapes and sizes. And one of the problems that customers were having was that they weren't confident to buy certain products because they were having trouble conceptualizing how big or small the thing would be in the space they wanted to put it in. And even if I would tell them, well, go and get a ruler and measure it out, you can measure it out, right? It's, you know, blah, blah, blah. They were still having trouble. And that was holding people back from buying because they were concerned, well, if I get the wrong light and it doesn't fit where I want to put it, like I'm going to be stuck with it. Now, at that time, this is back in 2014, in Australia, in that particular niche, I thought about this for a while and I kind of thought, well, I'm pretty confident in the size of my lights and that they work for most people. So I don't actually think this is that big of a problem. I think it's just a mindset, like a problem that people have in their mind about buying these products. But with our customer service and the content on our website and whatever, we can help people work this out a vast majority of the time and get it right. So what if I said, well, if it's not the right size for you and you're not happy with how it fits, you can just send it back. It's not going to cost you anything. You can just send it back to us. We'll take it back. No problems. And so I came up with a return policy that reversed the risk in the sale. That's why it's called risk reversal. From the customer's shoulders to mine. So I took on the risk in the sale, or the perceived risk in the sale. Now, at that time, I looked around at my main competitors, one of whom was Wayfair at the time, when they were still in Australia. I noticed that none of them really talked about their returns policy on their website. Like, when you were on the product page, there was nothing about returns. And that, you know, there was very little. Nobody like was big and bold on their website. We've got this returns policy and it's this and you get this and all of that sort of thing. And I thought, well, I think there's an opportunity there for me to say something different. Like, I can't compete on price. I'm not competing on price. But can I address a customer problem or something that the customer perceives in their mind to be a problem with that part of my offer, the risk reversal part of my offer. And so I came up with my own returns policy. I used the term, I was the first one in that market to use the term easy returns, which is now a very common terminology all over the place. But I called it, we've got the easy returns policy. And I think for a while I even put TM next to it just because why the fuck not? That looks good, right? And nobody else in my market had easy returns. And I would say that in my marketing, right? We've got our easy returns policy means you got nothing to worry about. You can buy the product, doesn't work out, you can send it back, we'll sort that out for you. It'll be fine. This is now a no-brainer. It's a win-win for you. You can't lose in this purchase. No one else was saying that. Now, some of my competitors did have returns policies. But I'm getting to the perception part of this. But they were really hard to find on their website. Some of them actually had a very similar returns policy, but they would hide it all the way down the website in the footer. And if you've ever done heat mapping on a website, you'd know that about 10% of people look at a footer on a website, right? So perception is important here. I was perceived to be the only retailer selling the products I was selling that had a great returns policy. Simply because nobody else was talking about their returns policy, in the customer's mind, I was the only one who was doing that, even though in reality, I was not the only person who had a returns policy or a decent returns policy. So the perception overrides reality in the customer's mind. And you can control that perception. You can make yourself unique. And so if you're in a market, an advanced market, you call it an advanced market in marketing terms, where everybody has a good offer or an offer. And there are high ticket niches out there where nobody has a good offer. And you can literally, particularly if you're like in a B2B niche or something like that, you can do a lot here, I think. But even if you're in a more advanced market where everybody has an offer and they're all kind of similar, you can twist perception a little bit by giving parts of your offer a unique name or presenting it in a unique way or a different way, or just talking about it more, because that gets into the customer's mind and they perceive you to have something unique happening, even if in reality you don't. Now, that might sound sneaky and whatnot. It's not lying. We're not lying here. We're not saying anything that's untrue. It's just what the customer perceives, and that is what it is, right? And you can take advantage of that. So you map out, going back to the exercise, you've mapped out the offers of all your competitors in your niche. You've got to find out where your ground is on that. Like, where can you be different? And the answer here is going to be different for everybody. There's no one-size-fits-all answer to your offer. You just have to have one. You have to think about it. And it's not enough to come up with what it is. You then have to communicate it. Because if you don't talk about what's great about your business, people don't automatically perceive that there's something great about your business. They perceive that there's nothing great about your business. So why should they buy from you? Once you have your offer, you literally have to scream it from the rooftops. It should pervade every single thing you do, because that is the reason why people buy from you. It's not because you've got a unique product. It's not because you've got a unique price on that product. It's the other factors. Right? And yes, your customer service is part of your offer. Having fantastic customer service that's better than everybody else's is part of your offer. And so you do have to implement that as well. Like, you genuinely should go the extra mile, or whatever it is that you say about your customer service is better, or your sales process or whatever. So you have to do that as well. But on your website, in your emails, in your ads where you can, you should be talking about the elements of your offer. So like, anytime I ran search text ads in that business, I would have in the copy of my ad, like, buy now and take advantage of our easy returns policy, right? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'd have some text around it. That would be in every single ad I ever wrote. It was on my About Us page. It was on the homepage. It was on the product pages. It would be in every email that I sent. Like, you have to hammer it into people's minds, because you want to win that perception war amongst your competitors. And so whoever is perceived to have the best offer in your market is going to be the one that makes the most sales. generally speaking. All other things being considered fairly equal. And what I'm talking about here applies to every single business on this planet. Building an offer and blah, blah, blah. This is not like a high ticket dropshipping only thing. This is like marketing 101. So you go back to, you know, like my favorite marketing book of all time. I don't know where I had it out the other day. Oh, it's over here. Breakthrough Advertising, Eugene Schwartz. Like if you ask any marketer today what's their number one marketing book, this will be at the top of a lot of people's lists. It talks about offers in here from whenever this was written, 60s, 50s, something like that. Like this is not new stuff. You'll hear any of the great marketers talk about this. Talk about the offer. Talk about risk reversal. So I'm just talking to you about it in our modern high-ticket dropshipping sense. But this practice and this knowledge and the need to do this has been recognized by people who sell lots of stuff, whether it's information, services, products, forever. And it's ultimately one of the big things that makes you different. So... That's my rant, Ben.
There's nothing I like more than handing you a big ball of juicy red meat and just watching you fucking devour it. I literally renamed this masterclass "How to Make a Good Offer When Dropshipping" during it because you killed it, man. You're on point today. If you're listening to this, if you didn't get something from that, I'd be shocked. You should go back and listen to it twice. If you're in the course, you should work through that matrix. You should work through what are your competitors doing so you can make a better offer. There's some great resources there. Breakthrough Advertising is a good book. 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing is a great book. $100 Million Leads is a great, $100 Million Offers is a great book. Yep. Around offers as well. There's no excuse not to be good at this, but we've seen so many questions that I'm glad you were able to come on here and just rant for a little bit about it, John.
Yeah, and like sometimes it's, you know, it can be hard to come up with your offer, and it can change over time. Like, you know, it's not like you do this exercise, you do it once and then you leave it forever. Like you can tweak it, you can change it, you can change how it's presented on your website, you can test things. So don't let it be a kind of set and forget type exercise. And you know, if you want to hear me talk about this stuff in even more detail, like definitely get into the course if you're not already in there. You book a call, dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. We'd love to have a chat to you about getting you into the program so you can learn this stuff in, see me doing it on a screen. Like I actually do the exercise on a screen. I'll show you how to do it all. So I can't, this is like such a like under talked about thing in the dropshipping world. But it's super important.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.